Hey everyone, how you doing tonight?
Good.
So this is kind of a surprise for me, actually. I just kind of getting familiar with the territory. I'm going to fill you in. I'll give you a little of my testimony, and I'll try to be quick about it. So I don't want to see anybody fall asleep. That's usually what happens. But my name's Tom. I grew up in Philadelphia. I'm about 47 years old. And what's that?
About
47. Yeah. And let's see, I grew up in Philadelphia. This is just testimony stuff. I'm a Celebrate Recovery guy, so I don't know if you guys are familiar with Celebrate Recovery all, but I'm going to just jump in with that kind of thing. But basically, throughout my life, I struggled with all kinds of stuff. I struggled with like anxiety, depression, pornography, prescription medications, alcohol. So I've dealt with all this like stuff. It took, you know, some other tumultuous events in my life that put me on a straight and narrow. But I'll take you back to... Started in Philadelphia, family, six kids, was raised Catholic, so I knew of God, but I really didn't have any kind of relationship with Jesus or anything like that. And I was antisocial as a very young kid. As a child, I was a bedwetter, so I was always embarrassed and afraid to go over to friends' houses, so ashamed. So I like just kind of, to protect myself, I kind of hung back, and I created a lot of space and distance from a lot of people, and became, as a very young age, I was very observant, but I was very intelligent. So I just felt that I was different from everybody else, and I just sat back and watched. And I said, you know, everybody in my neighborhood is Catholic because it's a Catholic neighborhood, and we all like the Philadelphia Phillies because, you know, we live in Philadelphia, you know. And so I was like, you know what? I said, I'm not going to make any of those decisions until I get older, until I know better. So I really created this space between myself and other people. And then what I learned was I started filling that space with, like, pornography to start off with. And then prescription medications, I had an eating disorder, and then alcohol as a child also, at a very young age. And then work became a big medication of mine. And then for my eating disorder, my mother was the type that, you know, everything was solved with medication. You know, go to my doctor, you know. So the doctor, yeah, they put me on what was called Synthroid, which acted like speed for me. So it would help me pull all-nighters and stuff like that. And that fueled my workaholism. So after I got out of school, I mean, I lived in Switzerland for a year. I came back, jumped into college. Jumped into the corporate world. And I was the go-to guy for, like, you know, chaotic assignments. I was the guy who they were like, call Tom, he'll pull all-nighters, he'll do whatever. So with that space, with that isolation, I really had a lot of sociopathic tendencies where I just didn't have emotions. I am not in touch with my emotions. I still am not in touch with my emotions. I kind of work on that. But what happened was workaholism became my primary form of medication, but then I was always this binge and purge thing where I'd be on the road traveling around the country, and then I would come and I'd work like 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row, no sleep, and except for the weekends I would crash, come back to Philadelphia, overdo it, get thrown in the tank with a DUI, or get thrown in the tank because I overdid it and walked into some neighbor's house. They didn't know who I was or something like that. It was bad stuff, but not too bad. But anywho... But so here, got married in Decatur, Illinois. I was a superintendent of a manufacturing plant. At the time, I was like 26 or 27 years old. I was pretty young. And, but I was workaholic. And then my wife, she was a bartender, manager of a restaurant. And so all the other medications kind of went away, and my primary form of medication became alcohol. And so I would drink, basically between 2004 and 2008, I became a blackout drunk. I would just drink until I passed out. And that was just now I was a workaholic also. I mean, I'd wake up at 4 in the morning, go to work 12, 13, 14 hours. But as soon as the day was over, walk across the street, start drinking until I passed out. And then in 2007, I almost burned our house down where, you know, it was Christmas. My wife likes to decorate. And so she had like Christmas trees on either side of this fireplace and then all this fabric and candles and stuff. And I was all blitzed and I lit all the candles and I took pictures of it. And she was asleep and I passed out and candles just burnt down and caught the whole wall on fire.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, yeah. So she's waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and she's like trying to wake me up and I'm like in a stupor. And so anyway, that kind of flagged that I had a drinking problem. Tried to moderate for about a year. That didn't pan out. I just learned, you know, by the end of the year, I just learned it was better off that I just quit drinking altogether because I'm kind of like an all or none kind of guy. And I don't have that kind of discipline to moderate. But when I quit drinking in 2008, what happened was it turns out that like all this anxiety and depression started coming up that I didn't know how to deal with. Okay, I'd never known it was there. I was always medicating with something, but when I wasn't medicating with something, then all this depression and mostly anxiety at the time. And then I got fired from my job because I wasn't the effective guy that I used to be. I mean, before I'd hire people, I'd fire people, and I didn't care what people thought. I didn't care how people felt. You know, but now that I was trying to struggle with my emotions, I really cared. I was like paralyzed. I was just like, hey, man, you know, what's this guy going to say about me? What's she going to do or whatever? So I ended up getting fired for quitting drinking, which was kind of ironic. And then I really started struggling with, and then that was kind of a blow to my ego and all that stuff. And I went to a doctor, and the doctor's like, man, you got depression, you got anxiety, you got ADHD. So they put me on Adderall, they put me on Zoloft, which was great for symptom relief. But it really didn't do anything as far as recovery was concerned. So all that did was kick my career mode again into high gear. And so again, I'm traveling around the country. I landed here in Fort Wayne. Well, there's a company here in Fort Wayne, and I was actually working out of my house for a year. And then after a year, they asked me to come here and help them grow their sales. And so the company was making about $320,000 a day, and they needed to get it closer to $400,000 a day to get sold. So within 3 months, we were able to get it up to $400,000, and then they sold, and then 3 months later, they cut me loose. So I had moved here, and I didn't have any friends, didn't have any network or anything like that. And so what happened was now, and plus I didn't have any insurance, so I didn't have my medication either. And so over the course of several months, I mean, I was doing some consulting work. I was going up to Chicago, but things were just slipping dramatically. Where, like, here I'm up in Chicago. I was driving a Mercedes convertible. That got stolen from me. The walls started closing in on me. My client up in Chicago fired me. So I come back here, and I'm just like, I'm unemployed. My wife's unemployed. And it's like we tapped all our credit cards, and it's just like I'm in this panic mode now. I'm like, this is ridiculous, okay? I'm just done. And the walls had closed in so much, and I was in such a spiritual stronghold that I was actually like on that suicide contemplation mode, suicide ideation, where I'm thinking, okay, I said, you know, like the pain that I felt, and it's different for everybody, and it's hard to describe if you've never been there, but, you know, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whether the fact I had options or not, in my mind, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, I was toast. I was done. And I was like, it was in so much pain. I was like, I'm just better off just crawling under that train when it comes down the tracks. Or you know, you start eyeballing buildings and be like, I wonder if they have an open exit up there, you know. So anyway, it was at that time, that was May of 2013. Started going to the church, chapel, southwest Fort Wayne. And just the pastor there, what he had to say, just really resonated with me. I had not been going to church at all. And then after a couple of weeks, I was just like, you know, all this pressure and this buildup, all this pain and anxiety, it was just like, that's it, man, I surrender. That's it. That's what I'm doing. I'm surrendering. And I turned to my wife on the way home from church. I was just like, Carol, I need Jesus in my life. And she's just like, starts crying. And I'm like, well, what are you crying for? And she's just like, well, I thought you were just going to church for me. And she said, I said I was, but now I'm going for me. And so I didn't have a job at the time. I did get another job, but it was really just kind of pushing me out of that world. I was really kind of tired of business. I started now. Just because I had Jesus in my life didn't mean I was gone. That mental stigma that I was stuck in, or that issue, like I had hope in my life. It was kind of like when I accepted Jesus, it kind of poked a hole in a dark tarp where a little light was coming out. But it didn't mean that all my issues were done. So I had to find something. But I was broke, so I didn't know what that was going to be. And then so I found a Celebrate Recovery at my church, and I started going to that. And that helped me out significantly, because for me, as I said, I had all these addictive type behaviors, and I quit a lot of them, but I had never done any recovery work. And so for me, the problem that I had was this isolation. And then what I filled it in with was all these habits. When I didn't have any of the habits, there was that anxiety and that depression. And then when I eliminated that isolation by building relationships with other people, with Jesus Christ, it eliminated that isolation. So slowly transitioned. That was May of 2013. Started doing July of 2013 is when I started going to CR. And I don't know, it was just a very transparent environment. I mean, for me, who was antisocial, who didn't like talking to people if I couldn't get anything out of you, and, you know, if it wasn't business related or money related, there was just no point for me. So, but what I had learned was when I walked into CR, I mean, it was just a very transparent environment. I mean, people were talking about, you know, business guys talking about, you know, their opiate addiction, or there was a pastor from south of Fort Wayne talking about his porn addiction. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, this is the most transparent environment I've ever been in. So, sorry if I'm moving too fast, but I only got, what, like another 3 minutes? Okay, so, oh good, I got 5 minutes. So anyway, so I thought, I was like, okay, God, I said, you know, here, you know, I went this way and I failed miserably. I'm going to go this way. And I don't know what that looks like. And I have no idea what I'm going to go into. But if it feels uncomfortable, I'm going to press into that. So that meant, you know, where I wouldn't normally stick around and talk to people and be social, I was like, I'm going to stick around and be social. You know, where if I'm not going to volunteer for stuff, I'm going to volunteer for stuff just so I can kind of get stuck in this, like in a new rut, in a good rut, you know. And so I started doing that. And then I went to a 12-step study. Then I led a 12-step study. And then what happened was I kind of transitioned out of this world. Like I was a vice president of sales for a company. Wasn't really a fun job. Didn't like it for a year, probably a year and a half, 2 years. I was just like, man, this is not what I'm about anymore. But what happened was opportunity developed where I was able to get out of that world and into ministry. And I started working for Associated Churches and running Celebrate Recovery for Teenagers downtown. And so what I do is, what I started doing was, like, I thought in my mind, where I came from was, you know, when I was in my suicide ideation mode, like, I really had options, but I didn't have any hope, you know? And when you're hopeless, you just can't even see straight, you know? And so I thought, even though I said, I want to work with individuals who don't have any hope and don't have any options. And so I started working with the teenagers that are coming from group homes, or they're at a juvenile detention center, or they're coming from Vincent Village, or they're, you know, like, you know, so these kids who really have a tough background. I mean, they're struggling with self-harm, suicide ideation. They were molested as kids, or they're coming from really, really tough backgrounds. I mean, the parents, tough stuff. So I started working with them. And then as I, and it's just like a Celebrate Recovery for the most part. And so we'll have testimonies, regularly. And so one of the guys who I met, and he volunteers with me, his name is Winston Pearson. I don't know if anybody knows Winston. Okay, so that guy, he's my hero. He's my pastor now for the most part, you know. Because that guy, he had a bad background, and then he came to faith, and God delivered him from coke and alcohol. And now he is one of the most biblically knowledgeable guys that I know. And his testimony is phenomenal. But then there was another gentleman, and his name was Brian Mons. He gave his testimony about 2 or 3 months ago, where he was saying he basically had about 20 felonies by the time he was 18. And then he got a couple of OWIs, and he was doing hard time for those. And then he, when he got out of jail, he couldn't find any work. And he's a smart guy. He's a very aggressive guy, but he could not find anything. And he was just, you know, riddled with, you know, anxiety, stress. He's got bills, he's got kids, stuff like that. And so he said, he was telling these kids, he's just like, and then I caught a break. And I'm like, break, what do you mean? He goes, Little Caesars hired me to do their little sign outside of their store. And I was like, you caught a break. I was like, did you guys hear that? I'll have him come here, give his testimony one of these days. But he's like, I said, he caught a break. He's like, it's all about perspective. He said, I took that job as if it was a $1 million job. And then he said, then what else he did was he got his mother, he was living with his mother at the time, and his mother bought a lawnmower, and he's just like, and I don't want to tell his testimony, but I just want to give you a flavor for it. He used that lawnmower, and his fiance at the time would pick him up because he didn't have a license, and they would go around doing lawns, and he saved up money to buy some equipment. He started doing repairs, starting doing minor construction, stuff like that. So anywho, I don't know, like those guys, that really resonated with me. And some of the most, you know, I know that life can be very difficult when God, what I've learned is I'm like a contrarian. When everybody's looking this way, I'm going to go and look that way. And I think that God's that way also. So when the world is saying, this is what's happening, you know, I don't look that way. I turn around and look this way. So for me, you know, people say, well, you got your car stolen, you had to go through bankruptcy, and you lost all this, you lost all that. I said, well, what God was doing for me, and that's what I would say he does for a lot of people without them realizing it, is that God's stripping them away, stripping all that stuff away to show that he is all that you, that he is all that you need. So that's what I learned. He's all that I need. And right now, I don't make any, like before I used to be a project manager type, and I used to be like line stuff out 3 months in a row or whatever. And I would push the boulder up the hill my way or the highway. And I'm like, skip it, man. I don't have time for that anymore. I'm too lazy. And I sit in the back seat and just let God drive now. And everything that I've been doing since then, it just evolved incredibly. Like, you know, I got ordained as a pastor last September. I'm doing this ministry with the teenagers. I'm working at Associated Churches. And then lately, with Winston and Brian's help, I was thinking about this. I was like, man, you know, how many people do you think, you know, I was talking to them. I was like, how many guys, you know, you think or people have those are in the same situation that you came through. And they, of course, there's a lot. So what those two and I are doing is, we just started a ministry where we're just going to, we're just building a platform to help people do what they were able to do. They were able to do it just on the grace of God and their own wherewithal. But I know that there's a lot of people who have God in their hearts, but then they're still hitting a lot of, like, obstacles and stuff. So we just last week, we just started, it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's all on God's timing. As I said, I'm a lazy guy, so I'm not going to push too hard. But when God tees it up, it's really easy for me, But what we've done is we just got together and we're going to start piecing together a platform where just help people find work with jobs that basically we'll find the work. We're just looking for extra hands to do this, and then hopefully it becomes more permanent as opposed to just jobs. It becomes more of a consistent platform. And I shared that idea with Winston and Brian downtown with several city officials, and they love the idea and they're 100% behind it. So as things develop, I'll keep whoever's interested in the loop. But again, it's definitely faith-based, man. If you don't know Winston, man, he's going to club you with a cross, man. He knows the Bible, man, and he is good. And then Brian also. They're both very, very intentional. I'm just very blessed to be with them. And I just really, my Bible verse is, when I got ordained, that Bible verse that I had on the invitations was Genesis 41:52. It says, "The Lord has made me fruitful in the valley of my afflictions." And so that's what I really latched on to. It was like, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the depths that you feel, you can be fruitful in that valley. And that's what I've learned, So, as I said, I didn't expect to give my testimony all that stuff today, so I don't think anybody's asleep yet, so I'm going to cut it off right now.